If you think I'm actually going to allow this old introduction to be played all the way through without completely destroying it, yes, I am such a jerk, such an idiot. I totally forgot it was Saturday. I was driving around outside, you know, and I just happened to be listening to DUSB, and I heard Jim say brain damage is coming up soon. And it was a good couple of minutes before I suddenly realized that's my show, and I'm supposed to be doing that show, and it's tonight, and thank God I was close to the station, and I just sort of pulled in. And special message to the lady with the baby carriage. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. But fortunately, I wasn't as good an aim as I usually am. Anyway, good evening. It's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. Let's go right to the phone. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yes, would you accept the call from Mr. Michael
Newhouse? Wait, I have trouble understanding your dialect, miss. You must be from the Deep South.
Would you accept
the where did you say you're from?
Phoenix.
Could you spell that word?
Ninex.
Ninex. Oh, I thought it was a place. Ninex. How's the strike going?
Just about done.
Just about done. You folks have caused enough damage, so you just about finished with it. Okay, well, I get you have a collect call from Mr. Who?
Mr. Michael Newhouse. I was looking for Mr. Corey.
Michael. Michael Juhas. That name puts me in a trance.
Yes, my name's Mike Juhas.
Mike Juhas, that voice. That it sounds so realistic, so lifelike.
Can I accept this call?
Should I accept this call, Jim?
Oh, by all means.
Jim says, by all means, I should accept the call, so... I guess the answer is we.
Hi, Eric, it's Mike.
Mike!
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm just fine, thanks. How are you?
Why in hell are you calling me collect?
Well, I mean, it sounds like something you'd do to me.
I guess you're right about that.
Just paying you back, that's all.
Oh, okay, that sounds good. So how is Milwaukee?
Well, that operator there, she sounded an awful lot like a nurse I once had.
She did sound like a nurse, yes. But I don't think she was.
Oh.
Because she wasn't very helpful as far as anything I can think of.
Operators can be helpful, you know.
They can be, but recently they haven't been. So how have you been?
I've been pretty good. How about you?
Oh, okay. Fine. No complaints. Well, actually, I could complain, but I'm not going to.
Hi, Jim.
You see, Jim is standing here with kind of a foolish expression on his face because he can't hear a word you're saying.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not coming through the speakers. Well, you could come through the speakers, but if you did, we get feedback.
Yeah, we don't need that.
But Jim says he's going to go into the other room and sulk.
No, I didn't say
sulk. Oh, go to the other room and talk. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I didn't know what you were
going to... You want me to sulk?
Yeah,
you sulk and talk at the same time?
Sure.
Talk in kind of a sulky tone of voice.
Sure. You want me to get on the mic in there?
You can get on the mic in there, and I'm sure Mike here can hear you if he listens to his radio.
Is he going to be whining or just sulking?
I'm not sure exactly what he's going to be doing, but then again, that's Jim. You know, we never know what he'll be doing.
No.
Did you hear I forgot to come in tonight? I just sort of remembered as I was driving by.
Well, that was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's, I never drove so fast in my life.
Never, huh?
No. No. I mean... I didn't think I was capable of it.
Well, now, where exactly were you, and when did you find out that you were supposed to be on the air?
Well, I was sort of moving towards the city, as I'm prone to do about this time of night.
Except on Saturdays.
Yeah, except, you know, I'd forgotten it was a Saturday, and there I was on my way. I, you know, had things to go to, people to see, you know, all that kind of thing. And
all that good stuff.
Suddenly, Jim's voice cut through me like an axe through an apple.
Oh, like an axe?
Yeah.
Through an apple?
Yeah, no less. And I suddenly remembered.
Wait,
I had a place to be. I had people depending on me whose lives were in the balance. And what was I doing? What the hell was I doing, you know?
I tell you, I'm getting...
What was I thinking of?
I'm getting all choked up here. Sorry about that.
Michael, you have an old-fashioned phone there, don't you?
I got all choked up. Yes, it's an old-fashioned phone.
An old-fashioned telephone that only makes that bongity-bong noise. Jim is moaning in the other room. He's sulking, that's right. Can you hear Jim, Mike?
Yes,
I can.
I came in the door here, and I had to turn the light on.
Oh, jeez.
And then I went to sit in the chair, and the chair came off the base, and I had to put it back in.
You're breaking up there. You're breaking up, Jim.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that's what we're all about here. I love fading people down. So, Mike, tell me what's new.
Oh, there's really not too much new. Hey, I'm going to be Charlie Backfish tomorrow morning.
That's what I hear.
Great.
Yeah, Charlie Backfish.
Oh, well, Jim came in for that one now, didn't he?
Well, he certainly did, because that's a momentous occasion. Now, Charlie Backfish is on from what time to what time?
9 to noon, I think.
Well, you better know if you're going to be him tomorrow.
Well, okay, I'll find out.
From 9 in the morning until noon. What kind of music are you going to play tomorrow?
Sunday's a party.
Sunday is a party.
That's right.
The whole damn weekend's a party around here.
That's right.
Why'd you say the whole damn weekend?
It's high time somebody did something about that.
Well, this is a...
There's too much partying going on.
Yeah,
it's time for some serious commitment here.
Okay, well, I'm going to commit to you...
The fun is over.
I'm going to commit to you that I sure enough will be there at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, I can assure you that I'll probably be asleep at the time.
Well, that's good, because I'm going to be asleep during brain damage.
Ah. Well, okay, if that's your little way of getting back at me, go right ahead.
Well, that's...
Fall asleep. See if I care.
Tit for tat, you know?
But there's a whole world of people out there right now that are awake and are waiting to dial their phones. I don't know why they haven't dialed already. They should. 632-6901.
Yeah, bring those calls right in now.
Yeah. Come in like a herd of buffalo.
Well, how about if you just hang up on me and I'll talk to Jim quietly in the other room?
Is that okay with you, Jim?
Sure.
Okay. I will hang up on you and...
What line is he on?
That's right. He's not on any line that shows up there. What I will do is I will transfer him to...
Great.
The special newsroom line that shows up in there.
Oh, the special newsroom.
Oh, not
yeah.
Just the regular one, the special
one.
But Jim, I must hasten to caution
unlighted.
You. Jim, you must press the button of the ringing phone before picking up the handset.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll pick up the person that I will pick up on
I
the
understand.
Air. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so, forgive these little beeps and buzzes that you're about to hear, but I'm now transferring the call.
Goodbye, Eric.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Mike, and have fun tomorrow.
I will.
All right. Okay, they're off. And we're back here. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Good evening to you. The program is called Brain Damage, if you haven't figured out why. Well, it's too bad, isn't it? Now we're talking about all kinds of neat and fun things. You know, I'm a happy person because this is the first time in 51 years that we've had snow on Thanksgiving. And boy, what a surprise that was. It might actually be a good winter. It might actually be, you know, a white whole winter, which is something I've never actually seen around here. Everyone else is complaining, of course, but I had a lot of fun. I wandered into the city, saw part of the parade, saw the tail end of the parade, saw Santa Claus and all that kind of thing, and had fun driving on the ice-coated expressway. I mean, you can't beat that, you know? Usually you have to wait till February for that kind of thing to happen, but here it is, November. I mean, maybe the whole winter will be completely freezing cold, snow on the ground, ice everywhere, people complaining. Oh, what more can we ask for? I don't know. Well, we can ask for your phone call, 632-6901. Good evening. Well, we'll wait for you to swallow, sir, and then we're going to have to move on. Okay, well, fortunately, he moved on. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Oh, good, how are you?
Okay, actually, I've missed your show almost every week.
So have
since
I.
Since you've been back, and I know that that's a terrible sin because I used to call you all the time. This is Russ.
Russ.
How you doing?
Hi.
Actually, the last time I heard the show, Tom Baker was on.
Yeah, Tom Baker.
And Tom seemed to have a grip on the show that... Well, it's gone now.
Well, Tom wore his seatbelt.
Yeah. It's a good thing he did, too.
I don't wear my seatbelt during this show.
Well, I think he needs a seatbelt wherever he goes.
Yeah, yeah, you could say that. An airbag, too, maybe.
Perhaps. Anyhow, I'm calling because I didn't have anything to say at first, but then you mentioned Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And to me, I think Thanksgiving is I boycott it.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, we're celebrating a holiday where a bunch of pilgrims came on over here and said, "Hey, you Indians, we're here now. Move!" So I don't think that's a very good thing to celebrate.
Uh-huh.
Also,
let me just say one thing, though. I didn't think about that at all. I never think about the pilgrims. I never think about the Indians. I just think about, you know, Thanksgiving. It's that Thursday in November where everybody has turkey. And, you know, it's weird. I can't think of any other holiday where everybody eats the same thing.
Can you imagine
all those turkeys?
So I don't eat bird, dead bird.
Yeah, well, if you were, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's scary to think of, you know, practically everybody has turkey on that day. It is. It's really kind of weird.
The turkey they don't eat that day, they have for the next week afterwards. Turkey soup, turkey salad, turkey flambé, turkey souffle.
Turkey pudding.
Turkey throwed away. Turkey pudding, right.
Turkey soda.
But, anyhow, also I find that to celebrate Thanksgiving this year in particular, when the country that we so hold dearly to our hearts is sending billions of dollars to a country that's killing its own people.
Yeah, talk about that a bit, because I did want to bring up Canada. Oh, right, of course, El Salvador. Yes, definitely. It's been a bad week.
I've become a very big activist here at Stony Brook.
All right, tell us all about it.
About that. I think that people should really sit back and take a look at what's going on around them before they celebrate a holiday that's really not worth celebrating at all. And if the doomsday is out there, I'm sure he's going to call up and say, "Oh yeah, I agree with that guy, Russ." You know, I don't know if he's been calling you or what, but.
Well, now let me ask you this: do you think there is any hope whatsoever
that this country is going to change its moral values? Are you kidding?
I don't know.
No.
You don't think there's any hope? Then why bother trying?
Well, that's just it. I plan on trying, but the way it looks right now, I mean, we have another 8 year of Reaganomics, only they're called Bushnomics or whatever you want to call them.
Uh huh.
You know, we have those people-loving Republicans in Washington, so it doesn't seem... I mean, Bush is sending thousands and millions and billions of dollars to a country where he's saying, "Oh, it's democracy," you know.
You know what gets me? When were the Jesuit priests killed?
About 10 days ago? So I think it's going to be 2 weeks this coming Tuesday.
Okay. They were killed. It's been buried already. And last week, at some point, I think it was on Tuesday, the hotel was taken over.
Right. Well, the hotel was taken over by the rebels.
That was taken over by the rebels, right.
I saw Nightline that same night,
right.
And a Democrat senator was on saying, you know, well, they're fighting this, that, and the other thing, and,
right.
You know, we have to be able to understand their grievances and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then some dumb old man Republican comes on and says, I think his name was Hyatt or something, I can't remember, but anyhow, he says, well, those guys are terrorists.
Right, well, that was precisely my point. We refer to them as terrorists for taking over a hotel, you know, maybe, okay, but why wasn't the same furor raised over all these priests that were murdered? You know, why aren't they called terrorists? Could it be because they were government supported?
Well,
you know?
It's because of that, and because the morals of the Western world has gone to pot.
Was that Henry Hyde by chance?
You know, it seems that we've lost all morals, and all we care about is money and gain and all this kind of stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's real sad.
Yeah, well, what is going on as far as activism? I saw something in the Thanksgiving Day parade, a black bomb balloon or something got there.
Oh, actually, I told you, I boycotted Thanksgiving. I don't know. In fact, I'm a football fan,
uh-huh.
And I didn't even watch the celebratory football Thanksgiving Day football games.
Now, what did you do?
Actually, I did nothing. I fasted, actually, Thursday.
You sit in a room and mope?
I didn't mope, no, and I didn't sulk like Jim's doing, actually. I just did some work. I have a couple of papers due. Wrote some poetry about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
But
you see, I think in a way you're cheating yourself, because there is a way to change, and you don't change by withdrawing.
Well, no, I mean, I went to the Congressman Hochbuckner's office on Tuesday. Also, here at school on Tuesday afternoon, about 30 or 40 of us walked into the union lobby and died, or
Ooh.
Pretended as though we were dead. And we had a speaker come and speak on what was going on there and so on and so forth. And the director of the union student activities, whose name I will withhold, but you know who I'm talking about, he's got red hair and a beard, comes down and says, "Excuse me, folks, this is a fire hazard. Could you please move?" And we're like, "Fire hazard? Yeah, there are people dying in El Salvador, being killed by this government, and you're talking about a fire hazard? First of all, if there was a fire, I don't think we'd still lie there on the floor. And secondly, I mean, where is this guy's morals, man? You know, this guy's talking about a fire hazard, and he has no idea what we're trying to say. You know, we're trying to get people involved and interested and aware about what's going on in the world. That's what I think the purpose of what I'm doing is."
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you could die in nice weather outside.
Well, it shouldn't be done outside because we had to let people see what was going on. Also, it was about 36 degrees outside, and for the sake of our health, we decided to do it in a place where not only would students see what was going on, but faculty and staff and so on. As a matter of fact, the director of Student Union and Activities called public safety, and they just sat there and watched us doing what we were doing.
They have to sit through a lot of stuff, I know. So,
yeah, well, they couldn't control the situation, a bunch of 40 dead people on the ground, you know what I mean?
Well, it is a rather odd thing to see. Did you die all over the floor so that nobody could walk by you?
Oh, no, we did leave some space for people to walk by, although there were some ignorant fools, like, jumping over us and saying, "Hey, you're not really dead," you know, I mean, just people who are ignorant as to what's going on around the world around them, except for, like, the beer and the keg that's at the end of the hall lounge later on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it was very effective. I mean, even if we got responses that were unnecessary, we did get responses.
Why don't you die in the middle of finance or something?
Actually, we did plan on doing it outside on 347. But
hey, that'd be a kick, wouldn't it? You'd die in the middle of a highway?
It would have been great. There were about 25 of us out there, also by Hawk Buckner's office.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been great, too, but...
You're demonstrating or talking to Hawk Buckner. Where does Hawk Buckner stand in all this?
He didn't want to send aid to El Salvador at all. In fact, he backed us all the way. And I don't know if you know what happened with all of the foreign aid, but what happened was... the monies for Poland, Hungary, all other countries, and El Salvador were put into one rider and was voted on, and so you can't, like, say, you know, we can't send money to this country, but we want to send it to you. So...
Well, I mean, El Salvador is part of the growing democracy in Eastern Europe now?
Supposedly.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to send money to those countries, and Hawk Buckner and anyone else who felt as though he did and as though we do still had a vote on the foreign aid policy, on the foreign aid writ, or whatever you want to call it. So the money was actually passed.
Mm-hmm.
But and also that same day, Congress closed for the session, and they won't be back until January 20th. So basically, this government for the next 2 months will be sending monies to El Salvador for thousands or hundreds or whatever for the more deaths of people down there.
Well, I'll say this, there seems to be a lot more activism than there has been over the last few years, and I guess it takes the deaths of some innocent people to bolster that a bit.
Well, also the government and the politics here, and because of the publicity that it gets and the journalism that it gets, people aren't really sure about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to read in between the lines and wake up as to what's really going on, then people, I think, would become more active. I mean, there are even some Republicans who are behind us. You know, they say, "Well, we're not going to get money for people to get killed."
I think you're making a big mistake if you say it's a Democrat thing or a Republican thing, because this is something that cuts across party lines. A lot of Republicans are horrified by what we're doing in El Salvador,
and it's disgusting because there are people in the Senate who feel, you know, "Well, we're not doing anything. We're celebrating. You know, we're helping democracy, and democracy isn't the death of 70,000 people in 10 years.
No, certainly isn't.
It's real sad, you know.
All you have to do really is read the newspapers. You don't have to read a leftist newspaper. Just read any newspaper, and you'll see for yourself. You'll see enough to get outraged by. Tying in of the deaths to the government in El Salvador. That's not some communist talk there. That's coming from the Senate and the House. They're saying that.
Sure. Also, on Tuesday in the newspaper, a woman was at the press conference that George Bush gave, and she was asking questions about El Salvador. And in the paper, they said, "A woman heckler is being removed from the president's press conference."
Right.
She was no heckler. She was asking him questions on things that he didn't want to answer.
Right, and I'll say this. If the speaker had been Mikhail Gorbachev, he would have answered the questions.
I'm sure he would have.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you're seeing all these things happening in Eastern Europe. Name one thing that we have accused the Soviets of doing over the past, what, 20 years or so, and we're now doing it. We're now shutting people up. We're not allowing debate, as George Bush says. There'll be no more debates. We're having secret space missions, and we're not releasing any details on them. It's the same crap, except we're doing it now.
Yeah, well,
and they're doing the liberalization.
Unnecessary things, and you know, I don't know. I'm kind of down on this country, and when I say that, people are like, "Oh, you're a communist." You know, I'm not a communist. But first of all, I'm a socialist. And then when I say to people, I'm a socialist. Oh, you're a communist. You know, and there's a big difference here.
Yeah, but the thing is, just because you disagree with the country's policies doesn't mean you're any less a part of the country.
That's right.
You should use that and say, "I'm the country, and you folks are what's wrong with the country." You know, use their own argument against them.
Yeah, well, a lot of people
are
really
believe
ignorant.
It. Sorry?
A lot of people are really ignorant and choose to create their own worlds within the world that they live in.
Right, but you have to understand, people are ignorant on both sides, too. I've seen people ignorant who say other things.
That's true. In fact, that's very true. It's very sad, but very true.
Mm-hmm. So it's not easy, you know, to come up with these ideas. You've got to think them through.
Yeah, well, it's just that I think a lot of people act before they think.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in karma strongly, and I think that maybe one day George Bush's karma will come back to him and destroy him.
Or his evil twin, Skippy, right?
Yeah, what's his name? Quail, that's it.
Right.
Quail, the vice president.
Yeah.
Like that dude.
What about him?
Well, he's just invisible.
He certainly is.
Yeah, I'm sure that
I
he
like
doesn't
it that way.
Support George Bush on this, you know, and he hasn't come out and said anything at all.
Well, he's saying things, but people just aren't listening.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah, actually, they probably just don't know he's saying anything.
Yeah, enough quail bashing here. He's going to come up here and demand equal time, and I don't need that.
No, we don't need a quail here.
Okay, thanks for calling, sir.
No problem.
All right, let us know what happens.
Take it easy.
All right, 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. We have open lines. Good evening.
Hello, it's Mr. Goldberger.
Mr. Goldberger.
Hello.
How are you?
All right.
Welcome to adulthood.
Is it Emmanuel or Eric?
Tonight it's Eric.
Okay.
Emmanuel may be in next week.
All right. About the Dan Quayle thing you just talking about?
Yes.
Well, you know David, of course, right?
Yes, I do.
So he was saying to me the other day more people saw Elvis than Dan Quayle.
Oh, that's communist talk.
Yeah. And
you better make plane reservations to another country. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. And something that was going to, he mentioned Hungary.
Yeah.
And do you have the exact date that that became a democracy?
Do I have the exact date?
Yeah, I think it was October 23rd.
I can tell you it was October something.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the 23rd.
Okay.
So, but I'm Hungarian myself.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Well, that must make you feel, well, how does it make you feel?
I mean, I didn't read about it or anything, but I guess I knew it because I'm on the history team.
On the history team? What does the history team do?
Well, we compete, like, all on Long Island. And
How do you compete?
Like, there's six tables with six teams, and the judge asks us stuff, and we can answer it. It's like current events.
Okay. Can you give me an idea of what some of the questions are?
When was the exact date that Hungary became...
Okay.
You know, a democracy.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Who won the New York City Marathon. You know, current events.
Okay. That sounds good. And how good are you at that?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I made the team, so...
Yeah?
That was pretty hard.
Who is the new president of Poland?
See, no.
I deliberately picked something that even if you knew what the answer was, there was no way you could pronounce his name. So that was a bit of an unfair question.
No, I know East Germany and West Germany and everything like that.
Hold on, Jim is here. Sorry, Jim?
Elvis Presley is the answer to that.
It's not Elvis Presley.
Oh, he's not? Okay. Sorry.
Hey, Jim.
I'm go.
Andrew says hello.
My best to Andrew and congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay. And I'll see you.
Yes. Sorry, I got to run.
Okay.
Okay, and I have a message for the terrorists.
Message for what terrorists?
The one about the hotel. Can I just play it for you a second?
Oh boy, go ahead.
Thank you.
632-6901. it's great how every toilet flushes differently. You know? It's amazing. If you have a phone near your bathroom, feel free to call us up and flush the toilet because, you know, we won't get the same thing twice unless the same person calls twice, which I'm sure won't happen. 632-6901. Now, that's lighting up the switchboards, isn't it? We still have some open lines, so let's get that filled. Yeah. Flushing toilets on the air. What next? Good evening.
Plunge into the depths of despair.
That's a voice I haven't heard in a while.
Where has he been? He's been out gathering information on the plight of the planet.
Okay.
Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of things going on lately, I'll tell you.
Well, first of all, you seem to be screaming. Why is that?
Oh, okay, I won't scream.
No, there's no need to scream. You can
just shout. I thought the phone, you're always complaining about my phone. You're always telling me how lousy it sounds.
Well, it does sound lousy if you scream.
Well, let me tell the radio audience out there that this is the original and one and only Big Jim Doomsayer, who's been in hibernation.
Well, anyone who's anyone in the world today knows that already.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been out hitting the bars and stuff. I haven't even been listening to this program. This is a sacrilege.
Sacrilege? Ah.
But I'll tell you, I've got good feelings about the way people are getting together for democracy in this right now.
Say it,
it's good to see that people could get together. It gives me faith in man.
Hallelujah.
But the rug is being pulled out from under them. We're not hearing anything about what's happening to this planet. All we hear is news, this news that makes news, these things, and then they become, these things about East Germany become smaller and smaller articles in Newsday all the time.
To be replaced by what?
Girl hit by car on Parkway and found in woods, dumped, or some other such thing.
Boy.
It becomes more less and less important, just like the environment. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I've said it before. There's nothing more important than the environment because without the environment, we can't have anything. That's true. We don't because you know, it doesn't sell papers.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's the problem. Everything has to sell papers for it to make it to the newspaper, or you know, on TV or even on the radio.
Yeah. What was that gentleman talking about? He was talking about something about morals. That's when I turned it on. I kind of missed what his point was. Maybe you could update me.
I assume you mean the person talking about El Salvador.
Oh, well, he didn't like that?
Well, he doesn't like the current policy of the United States government towards El Salvador. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that we should just keep on going the way we're going because this country went through a similar situation back in the 1700s, did it not?
This country went through a similar situation back in the 1970s, and I don't think we really
want
to go through that again. Yeah, certainly.
Well, that was different. That was not a civil... That was a whole different thing. That was one of our allies.
Look, let me just say this, okay?
I don't really know that much about this.
One of our allies, the government was our ally, but the people weren't exactly our allies. With the case of El Salvador, we've got a situation where these rebels want to take over the country. We've got a situation where the government wants to stay in power, and where most of the people really don't want to get involved either way. And I say, why don't we just let events take place? Let the rebels take over the country if they can do it. Let them run the country. Let it become socialist. Who cares? If the people don't like it, they'll do what happened in East Germany and overthrow the government by marching in the streets.
There's
what's wrong with that?
Than that though. You're not thinking in depth of the reason what our national interest is. We don't want them
who
on
our
back.
Who cares what our national interest is? Our national interest is not the most important thing in the world. I'm getting pretty sick of our national interest. Our national interest should be directed here where we need it the most.
It is here. They're too close to our border. They could cause social unrest.
Oh, come on. How could El Salvador possibly cause any problems? The problems are coming from within. We've got to fix things here instead of trying to fix things elsewhere. You know, we're not wanted in the first place.
Well, it's like anything. I don't know that much about El Salvador, so I shouldn't even be talking about it. But the thing is, if I sat down and studied it from way back, as far as I can study it,
well,
I would find out that there's so much attached to this that, and I feel that our government is enlightened in this, and they have a reason for doing this. I don't think that they want that kind of threat so close
but
to our border.
The more you study it, and the more you see it the way our administration sees it, the more remote you become from the actual fundamental fact of the matter that people are dying there as a result of a stupid conflict that we shouldn't be involved in the first place.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
people
I mean,
were dying here in 1861 to 1865.
Yeah, well, all kinds of horrible things happened.
Slavery.
But that's not a reason to repeat them. You know?
Was that
I mean, it's horrible what's going on down there.
Well, a lot of it has to do with religion, too. I think the way they interpret the Bible, people are being killed over ridiculous things like that down there, from what I understand.
Well, the people, the priests that are getting killed are basically people that say land reform might not be such a bad idea. Simple things like that, and they get slaughtered for that.
Land reform?
Yeah, that's considered communist talk, you know? And if that's communist talk, God bless them.
Well, if this world could get together the way it's been doing in these other countries, I mean, to get rid of that Berlin Wall, I mean, that's unprecedented. That's unbelievable.
Right, and that had nothing to do with the arms race, is what I'm trying to point out here. It had to do with people power, people getting in the street saying, enough already, we're going to stop this, you know, not using any violence, and succeeding. Same thing happened in the Philippines.
Well, if
you know?
People can get together and do what they did to get democracy, if we could do the same thing, if people could start seeing that the common denominator to all the problems with the spaceship, if you want to call it the spaceship Earth, because the rug is being pulled out from under us, but a lot of people don't see it because they just don't want to see the truth. If we keep procreating the way we are, there's not going to be, no matter, you can protest your brains out. If the atmosphere starts heating up and gets into some kind of thermal runaway or something, we're really doomed.
Sure. And
we'll have to start thinking about...
Do you think if we get involved in another kind of stupid conflict with another country, do you think we're going to actually be thinking about the environment, you know?
Yeah, but it's useless. It's useless to think about these conflicts. They're all useless little things. We have to think about what our place is in the universe. I'm not talking about any kind of ridiculous metaphysical things like religion or anything.
Well, it won't do us much good at this point, will it?
I'm talking about how we're just another organism on this planet, and everything else ties in with us. Everything, we're a part of everything, and everything's a part of us. No matter how you look at it, that's the way it is, and we're trying to become number one. We're trying to dominate the planet, and it's not working. And we're wrecking it, and it's gonna catch up with us.
I think the Soviets have realized that trying to become number one is pointless, and you know it's better to try to improve what's going on at home.
Realize that.
I mean, it's no good being a world leader if your economy is falling apart, which ours is certainly on the verge of doing.
Well, it seems to me like the Gorbachev with the perestroika, it looks like they would like to adopt some type of capitalistic society, but to be truthful with you, from what I see with the Soviet Union, maybe they're trying to change an old system. You're pretty familiar with what they're doing. Now, by changing their old system, they've been doing away with parts of the old system, and they haven't been implementing anything in place of what they've taken away, and that's leaving a lot of holes in their economy. So it's more of a mess right now than ever, so they have to move forward at a rapid pace in order to get goods to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if capitalism is such a great thing either, because look at the mess we're in. I mean, we've got national debt. We've got a government that spends money like this. I think it's going to catch up with us. I think we're going to have a massive depression sometime in the near future.
Well, something's bound to happen one way or the other. And I'm no economic expert on this, but you can only spend so much money before, you know, the chickens come home to roost or whatever.
Well, MasterCard alone, just the MasterCard, just that one credit card has 250 million outstanding cards. That's pretty scary. That's just MasterCard. That's a lot of people owing a lot of money.
That's certainly true.
But one more thing before I go. That gentleman called. He liked to talk about karma. That was interesting. I don't like to take it for face value. Because I'm not really into like religious type things, metaphors or whatever. I like to, but the karma thing does make sense. Like he says, everything will come back to Bush. It isn't just Bush. It's going to come back to everybody. The Indian. pollute the land without destroying it. Just take what they need and put back, not ruin it. And the whole, we as a people, a lot of us, have done a lot of damage, and now that's going to come back to us. There is, he's sort of right about the karma, but it isn't just George Bush who's going to get it. It's us as a whole if we don't change our ways, but I really don't see how any way out of it. There's too much greed.
Well, you know, it's something, I think there is a way out of it. It's something you said earlier. I don't know that much about the subject, so I really don't have the right to say this. And that's not true at all, because we all are able to think about these things. We don't have to have a college degree in a subject to be able to give an opinion on it. And I think it's in the sense that, well, you know, we'll just let these people that are running the country make all the decisions, and we'll trust them because we know they're more intelligent than us. They're not more intelligent than us. They just know what they want, and we should know what we want. You know, once we know that, then we can make sure we know that they know what we want. You know what I'm saying?
Government does make some good decisions.
Oh, sure.
Halpin, for instance, our county executive, he's doing great with the buying up of the pine barrens and the woodlands so that we have drinking water. There's a lot of developers out there that totally disagree with that because their living depends on development. But how much development are you going to do? I mean, are you just going to keep developing the land until there's no more land and then just keep building up and then have one big New York City from Manhattan to Montauk Point?
If you're greedy, yes. If you're thoughtful, no. And you'll realize that we don't have the right to do that kind of thing.
Well, these developers can say, well, you know, we could make sewers for the so we don't have cesspools and things like that. But there's still, you just can't have that kind of development because the oil from the runoff from the cars and the pesticides and fertilizers people use on their lawns just gets into the groundwater, and there's no way to avoid that if you develop these lands that are sacred in their own right anyway. They should be left alone not because they look good, just because they have a right to be there, just like we have a right to be here.
Right, and there's no law anywhere that says that we own the land. The land owns us, really, is what it boils down to, and the land can destroy us, as we've seen many times.
I like to hear you talk like that, Eric. It's
that's how I feel.
It's warming.
It's warming, but I hope it persuades a few more people to stop being convinced that because they own land, they're entitled to a profit from it. They're not. They're entrusted. You know, the land is entrusted to them. That means they have to take care of it. And you know, it's like the Indian way of looking at it.
Yeah, it's really good. But the thing is, like I said before, I go, if we keep procreating, the pressures are going to mount on these lands. It's just the pressures are going to become so extreme that the politicians aren't going to be able to find any way out of it. Except, you know, because the people are going to protest and say, well, look, I got kids, I got a family, I need a place to live. You know, and it's just going to, the pressures are going to become greater and greater until we see what our basic problem is.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. It's good hearing from you again.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was very nice to talk to you tonight.
Okay.
Good night.
Hang in there. 632-6901 is our phone number. We have one open line, looks like. Yeah, Thanksgiving time. What a time to bring all this stuff up. You know, every year at this time, every Thanksgiving, I meet with some family members, and I always get into this debate with my uncle about various things. And this year was no different. This year, you know, he's conservative, I guess, is the way to phrase it, and I'm more liberal than he is, certainly. And, you know, we talked about all this stuff. We talked about, you know, El Salvador and Vietnam and disagreed just about everything there was. But there was one thing that I thought was really kind of interesting and deserved further study. And that was his blanket statement that all rock music is bad. It's all subversive, and it all leads to degeneration and no moral values and all kinds of things like that. And I realized, you know, as he was saying this, you know, this isn't some crazy preacher that I play on my show occasionally. This is, you know, somebody that I know that really thinks this way, and it makes me think that lots of people think this way, and lots of people do think that way. Lots of people really believe that all rock music is bad, from the Beatles to the Birds to the Sex Pistols to the Dead Kennedys. They're all basically doing the same. Barry Manilow even would be considered, you know, subversive in that sense. And it's just incredible to think that is actually a serious opinion. It is, you know? You can't just dismiss it and say, oh, these people are crazy, because they're not crazy. They really believe this. They've thought it out. But there's something to be learned here, because invariably, people that say something like this don't really know much about what they're talking about. They don't know rock music. They don't listen to rock music. And you can apply that to just about anything that people argue about. You know, does the person really understand? You know, you say something about Hispanics, okay? You make a blanket statement about Hispanics. How many Hispanics do you really know? How many have you hung out with? How many have you lived with? You know? Same thing about other countries, other societies, other ways of life. You know, and one thing I did agree with him on, very much so, was the fact that whether you're talking about the left or the right, the conservatives, the liberals, there's fools in every camp. There's the blind followers, and there are people, liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, communists, capitalists, there's people in every group that want to shut up any kind of dissent. I mean, you know, how could you not believe that's true? It is true. I mean, every group has those people because they don't want to argue. They don't want to have people saying they're wrong. It's inconvenient. And, you know, everyone from Stalin to Reagan is infected with that to a degree. They don't want to hear the other side. And when you reach that stage where you don't want to hear the other side, that's when you're in trouble. That's when you've reached a stage where you're afraid of dissent. You're afraid of disagreement. And that's the key, you know? If you're not afraid of disagreeing with somebody, if you're not afraid of arguing, there's still hope for you, and there's still hope for what it is you're arguing about. So that whole rock music bit was fascinating, though. And, you know, I'd like to say I was able to, you know, point to lyrics and songs and point to specific musicians that are morally conscious and, you know, intelligent people. And I was able to convince him that rock music is not something that degenerates people, but rather enhances their character. But, of course, I wasn't able to do that, because how do you reach somebody who steadfastly believes something like that? And, you know, to a degree, I could see his point. To a degree, there are many people that just listen to rock music and don't think. They just, you know, turn on their headphones and stare blindly ahead, and, you know, they don't really think about what's being said with the words or anything, which is, you know, that's fine if you do that occasionally. It's good to lose yourself, but, you know, if that's your common denominator of life, then you're clearly missing out on something. And we shouldn't lose our link with the past, with other cultures. We shouldn't stop reading books, you know, let alone books from a couple of centuries ago. You know, we shouldn't stop reading books, period. We shouldn't stop doing the things that people for millennia have been doing just because today's pop culture is a bit more appealing to us. When we lose the link with the past, then we fall into that trap where we're doomed to keep repeating history. Anyway, enough of that. It's 10 minutes to 11 o'clock. Brain Damage is the program. 632-6901 is the phone number. Good evening.
Yes, I was wondering about the music.
What about it?
What you said about it, really, you know, people saying how music is all the same, you know, it's all anti-this and anti-that, and it degenerates people. You know, you're right. It's really, that's not true, because I can't explain it. If you listen to, like, you know, people say heavy metal, that's like, you know, makes you do drugs and commit suicide and all that. But if you listen to most of the music, it's mostly, it's against stuff like that. So, you know, I really don't appreciate people who say that.
Right, if you listen to the lyrics,
yeah.
A lot of people on both sides don't listen to the lyrics. But if you do, you'll see that the message is not what it's said to be.
Yeah.
And, I would have to say that if somebody takes drugs, it's not because they're listening to heavy metal. They're listening to heavy metal, you know, as they're taking drugs, perhaps. But I don't see how it could, you know, tell them to take drugs.
Yeah. But about stuff like the environment and stuff.
Yeah.
Really, I don't think there's, you know, what we've done, we've really done a lot of permanent stuff, so... You know, I'm not saying we should, like, you know, stop all the cleanup programs or anything. You know, that's good. We should keep doing it. But what we really got to do is we got to, like, find ways of, like, making it so that we don't do any more of that. Like, you know, like, clean mufflers and stuff like that for cars. And, you know, filters and stuff for the big pipe things that do all the, you know, the carbon dioxide and stuff like that in the air.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if, like, I'm just thinking, in the future, we're going to be colonized other planets, like, most likely, right? So, what are we going to do? We're going to go and pollute those places, too, and then we're going to start complaining about, you know, oh, our grandparents were so stupid, they polluted those planets when we colonized them. It's, really, we got to work on cleaner things before we do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, they're saying, you know, we're going to Mars and all that. Like, what are we going to do? Turn them into giant trash dumps or something? Because, I really, that's the way it sounds, the way half these people are talking, you know, we need more garbage space, what are we going to do, like, eject it into space? You know, that's only going to make, that's not going to, you know, make the problem any better.
That's also not going to make us very popular throughout the galaxy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are, I'm sure, planning to do just that. And that might be their only reason for being interested in space. In a sense, it's true, because, you know, how long can we continue on this planet at the rate we're going? It's kind of a race. Are we going to destroy the planet first, or are we going to escape from the planet and find expansion, other places to go? You know, if the first happens first, then we're doomed. But if we're able to, you know, start exploring other worlds, then we can breathe a little bit, you know, and
did you ever see the movie Soylent Green?
No, I don't think I ever did.
It has to do with overpopulation of Earth. What they do is when people die, they process them into a, like a wafer, like a greenish wafer. It's called Soylent Green.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that's like really weird because it's like what's happening now, over, you know, not with the food, but overpopulation because, like what you said, if we keep cutting down what we have, we're not going to have any oxygen because we're going to kill all the plants. So where are we going to put everybody? You know, when I...
Yeah, clearly, you know, unless we face some kind of a horrible disaster, like maybe AIDS or something, there are no solutions because where are all these people going to go? How are they going to be fed? You know, I mean, I'm wondering if that's what people think is going to be the answer, some kind of horrible thing to wipe out a large number of the population.
Well, that's really what's happening because it happened, with the Black Plague and all the other plagues in Europe.
Right, nature takes care of itself in the end somehow. That usually works itself out, and you know, we're just like dancing ourselves into our own graves, really, by not thinking.
Because nature always has to balance itself off. So you know, if we start killing everything else off, somehow nature's going to say we have to die. Because you know, it's not like I'm. You know, I myself am atheist. I don't believe in God. So it's just weird the way it happens. I can't explain it. You know how it has to balance off with all the other animals?
Yeah.
Like if an otter kills too many of its food, then it starts dying off.
Right, the food chain gets all messed up.
Yeah, that's basically what we're doing, but in different senses. So we are going to have to find another way.
Well,
you know.
I mean, the Alaska oil spill, we screwed up the food chain something fierce there because now there's all this oil in everybody's systems. And animals are going to die from eating other animals, and some species might be wiped out entirely, which will affect other species that depend on them for food. And it's horrible what we've started there, and it's being repeated in many other places too.
Yeah, and then you hear all these things about colonizing the ocean. That was another thing I read in a science magazine a while back.
Yeah. Well, we don't know enough about the ocean. You know, the ocean goes so incredibly deep. It's like another planet. We have no idea what's down there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really into diving and stuff like that. You know, I like, you know, doing water sports and stuff. But really, if we keep this going the same rate, and just saying, you know, okay, you know, we'll find ways of making it cleaner. What's gonna happen is everything we've already done is just gonna come back and bite us. You know, bite us. And you know, it's just gonna catch up with us like that. The guy before Mr. Doom called.
Mm-hmm.
The guy before him said, you know, it's going to come up and catch up with us in ways we didn't expect. And that's, like, really weird. Sort of like Hiroshima. Not Hiroshima. How can I explain? In Japan, for example, the mercury poisoning, where they had dumped several pounds of, you know, this company was producing, I don't believe it was paper, but it was something else that used mercury processing. And mercury was dumped into a bay. And then years later, like, children were being born deformed in large amounts. So really doing it to ourselves.
We certainly are. And all it takes is a little bit of consideration, a little bit of planning. It's not hard to survive on this planet if we put our heads together. We've got the capabilities, you know.
That's the thing. We're fighting for what we want, and it's really, we could just, it's one of those things where you could kind of like just ask somebody for an apple, but instead we're going up and shooting them and taking the apple.
Right.
And
or charging them an outrageous amount for it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I believe that things like food and medicine should not be commodities, and education too should not be a commodity. If we give ourselves the basic building blocks to a productive life, then I feel that the whole society will benefit as a whole.
Yeah, that'll never happen because there's all these people who want money. You know, money makes the world go round.
It'll never happen entirely, but that's no reason to not push for it. You know, it's like anything else.
Well, it's, you know, people. You know, I've kind of caught myself. It kind of happens in small amounts now. You know, people kind of realizing you could grow your own vegetables for less than you can buy them in the grocery market, so people are starting to grow gardens, and that's kind of the thing. But going back to space exploration, I really think if we're going to be out there, and if there is, you know, if there are other people out there, they're not going to kind of like us, you know, because they've already been here, obviously. So they're probably saying, you know, uh-oh, here comes those humans. Kill them off before they get someone, before they do something.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the whole end of our civilization when we start exploring other civilizations. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of like I don't know if you ever play these computer games, but you have to, like, complete one level before you're ready for the next level. And right now, the level that we're trying to complete is surviving the first stage of our development. In other words, not destroying ourselves either through a nuclear war or through environmental catastrophe. And once we do that, then we're ready to start exploring the rest of the universe. And it's level two at that stage, you know? And right now, you know, it's anyone's guess as to whether we're going to make it past level one or whether we'll have to just put in another quarter and start again.
Yeah, another thing about it, I was just, now that I mentioned aliens, a friend of mine mentioned that on one of those shows, like, not People Are Talking, but one of those, you know, the kind of, it's like, not a news show, but it's like The Inquirer on TV, as, you know, if you can put it that way. But, this lady had taken a home film, you know, a home video thing.
Yeah.
And, she was filming a, supposedly, like, a, you know, well, not supposedly, I kind of believe in it, a UFO, right, above her house. And then she kind of moved the camera to her front, out, you know, she was viewing it out of a window. And when she was watching, then she put the camera down for some reason, and they had an extra piece of film, and something ran by the window. And when they put it in slow-mo, it was this big, roundish, headish thing, you know, really, like, weird-looking thing. So I thought that was kind of weird.
Where was this?
I don't know. My friend never said. It was on one of the TV shows, though. What's
Entertainment Tonight?
No, I mean,
USA Today. Let's see, what else? There's Current Affair.
Current Affair, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
That's the ticket.
Yeah.
It's really the Republican, you know, me and my friend talk a lot about stuff like this. You know, he's weird, I'm weird, and stuff like, you know, world turns.
Yeah.
But I really think if, like, you know how they say there's all these, you know, alien spaceship crashes and stuff like that?
I've heard reports of it, yes.
Yeah. Well, I really think if the reason why the Army's kind of hiding it is because if they just came out and said, you know, oh, sorry, it was nothing, it was just a UFO crash, you know, people are going, wait a minute, they just said it was a UFO crash. People are going to get the UFOs are invading us hysteria once again. And I really think that's probably why, you know, I think they're almost, aliens would be afraid to come down and go, you know, hello, we're here. Because, you know, we'd probably shoot them.
Well, I can promise any aliens listening, and FM waves do go out into space. If you hear this show, WUSB, State University of New York, at Stony Brook, second floor of the Student Union, we won't you know, do anything. We won't lift our arms in battle or anything like that. You have a safe haven here.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of weird.
Seems like
you
can make it, I guess.
If you watch some of the old movies, it's really one of those things where, like, what do we always do? In all the movies, we wind up shooting them. In E.T., we wanted to slice them up. What is this?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, it's good those films recognize that element of human nature, because by recognizing it, then we'll realize what our faults are. Maybe we'll change. And I think we have changed. I think we're a lot less combative than we were in the earlier part of the century. I think we are making steady progress. You know, a lot of people think I'm wrong, but I think there is hope.
Kind of generalizing, but humans are kind of stupid in a way, because if we hadn't have done half the stuff we've already done,
yeah,
we'd be so much better. You know, humans, a lot of times, it's like leap before you look. And, you know, I'm not the most intelligent person in the world, I have to admit,
uh-huh.
even though I'd like to be, wouldn't we all? But, really, what humans have done, really, is dug ourselves in a hole, because, you know, they're probably out there watching, as the joke is. And, you know, what we've done, like, with the atomic bomb, is we've created something to wipe ourselves out with.
Right, but that could be the greatest learning lesson of all. You know, we see that we're capable of destroying ourselves, yet we don't do it.
Yes.
You know?
He who laughs best.
So we've learned something about ourselves. We learn how, you know, we're really in control of our destiny.
Yes.
And it's up to us and nobody else, no divine spirit from somewhere to change that. We have to change.
Yes.
Anyway, sir, I'm going to go on to another call.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. What's this? One open line we have. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hello, Eric.
Yo.
How are you? Ralph Cooney here.
How you doing?
Okay, very edifying and very entertaining program tonight.
Thank you. Well, thank our listeners.
I thought perhaps a little interlude would be appropriate at this juncture.
What kind of interlude?
I'd like to introduce you to my, I got a Ricoh 397 in my bathroom.
A Ricoh 397?
In my bathroom. That's my fixture.
What? Wait a minute. Are you talking about a toilet?
Yes.
Wait, a Ricoh?
Yeah.
R-I-C-O-H?
R-I-K-O.
Oh, okay, because I know they make cameras. I didn't think they made toilets. Okay.
That would be an odd confluence of
certainly
technologies,
would.
Eric.
Certainly would be. Fire away.
Here we go, babe.
Are you on the East End?
Was that beautiful?
Are you on the East End by chance?
No, I'm not.
Are you east of here?
Yes, in fact, I am.
Incredible.
Of here, yes.
Wow.
Being Stony Brook.
That is something else.
Well, yeah, this is a work of beauty I have here. I've got several toilets in one bathroom just because I worship the technology that I sit on. And,
you have several toilets in the same bathroom? I've heard of people with several phones in the same room, but never several toilets in the same bathroom.
Well, you know, you don't always want to be, you know what I mean, forced to...
You want to have a choice. You want to have a choice in the matter.
Absolutely. There's very many fine gradations of style and function available today.
Yeah.
And I believe in pluralism.
Well, I'm glad. You know, that's the bastion of democracy right there.
I would say so.
In
your bathroom. In fact, I have an East German model as well. It's in storage now, but...
Those East German toilets are great.
Yes.
I mean, I've used them, so I know. It's quite a challenge, and if you've never seen one before, you can get into quite a bit of trouble if you don't do it right.
Well, that's... we all become very centered on our own toilet technologies, and when we travel to other portions of the world, we need to relearn.
Uh-huh.
Many of the ways and means of utilizing these objects. It's very interesting education. Not too many people are aware of.
No. I mean, it just goes to show how much of a world full of different things there are to study.
Well, there. I do.
You know,
of a company that runs toilet tours around the world.
Do you know the toilet store that I'm thinking of? It's on Jericho Turnpike in Comac.
I'm not familiar with
It's toilets and kitchen appliances and things like that. And I've always wanted to go in there and ask them if I could use their bathroom. You know? I ask them if they have a toilet, for one thing, because, you know, it's just a room filled with the damn things.
I wonder if they're all hooked up to plumbing in the showroom in there for...
And you go to the wrong one in the middle of the showroom and see how they react to that, you know?
Eric, You're a true character and clown, and a character after my own heart.
I just want to have fun, that's all. Well,
I'm going to vacate the line, as I might say, and allow someone else to get into the more the meaty subject of the program.
Okay, thanks for calling, thanks for flushing, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
All right, 632-6901. That's our telephone number. We're talking about everything from foreign culture to interplanetary travel to toilets, would you believe? You know, one other thing I discussed this Thanksgiving with my relatives was what's going to happen next? You know, all this stuff happening in East Europe, it represents sort of the last conflict. And I'm wondering, is it the last conflict? Is, you know, this East versus West dissolution, you know, the fact that there won't be the Cold War anymore, does that mean there's anything else left? Because, yeah, you could say, okay, we're always going to have fights, we're always going to have skirmishes, but that was the skirmish to end all skirmishes. No real blood was drawn, but the two sides came face to face, both armed with the capability to destroy the world, and we backed off. Now, how can any other conflicts arise after that one has arisen and been resolved? You know, like you had Napoleon, and you know you had Genghis Khan and all those fine folks, and you know one conflict led to another and just kept going on and on and on. But now you got these superpowers, and once they settle their differences, you know, how is anything going to top that? How is any other power going to put itself in the position where it could control the world or destroy the world? So we're at a stage now where possibly there won't be any more conflicts of that scale, and we'll just keep moving towards more of a, you know, a planetary kind of a culture where the borders are slowly erased, and one by one the countries aren't really countries anymore, but you know, historical reference points. So what comes next? You know, if we go out into space, it's going to take a few hundred years. So what's going to happen over the next few years, I think, is probably going to be a very pivotal point in mankind's history. Interesting things to discuss and argue about. I'm sure many of us did. Of course, some of us watch football, too. But, you know, there's a lot of things to do on Thanksgiving. And that's one of the things that I always have fun with, is getting into these long-winded debates about various obscure things. It's 9 minutes after 11 o'clock. You're listening to Brain Damage. Our phone number is 632-6901. If you get a ring, please stay on, as we will get to you. If you get a busy signal, hang up the phone and try again. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
You said, what else is there in the world? Well, we can take a look at what's going on in Israel, Iran, Iraq, Egypt. One thing we'll probably never get rid of is racism within our own country. There's so much, and you're speaking so ideologically without really realizing what's going on.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
in order,
I'm talking
I'd like to see world peace.
I'm talking about world conflict, you know, like one, you know, like a world war. How can you have a world war with, you know, just one country like Iran or one country like Israel?
Well, when you have countries like Russia backing up countries like Afghanistan, or countries where they have allies like, you know, If we're an ally of one country and Russia is another ally of another country, and it gets so heated that we say, forget that stuff we said 10 years ago. This is going on now, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to matter. And until there is world peace, you can't say that there isn't world conflict, because there always is. There always will be.
Mm-hmm.
You have racism. I mean, that's just one thing in itself that might never, ever be abolished.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, racism is a disease, and then you have all kinds of other diseases as well.
That's true.
But I'm talking mostly about, you know, any kind of, you know, do you think that there could possibly be a World War III? I don't think it's possible without destroying the entire planet.
I think it's possible, and I don't think it is possible without destroying the whole planet. But do I think it's possible? Yes. Do I think it's likely? No. I'd like to say no, and I'd say within the next, 20 years, 30 years, it's probably not going to happen. But you can't say that it's never going to happen.
Certainly not. In fact, you could say that because of all the events over the last few weeks, that a war of that magnitude is less likely. But
sure.
Let's say we all lull ourselves into a sense of false security, then, you know, 20, 30 years down the road, we've forgotten what it was like to live on the edge like that, and then we just race right in without looking and start World War III and destroy the world because we forgot and we didn't keep in touch with the past.
We're not keeping touch with the past right now.
No,
because if
not.
You take a look at what's going on in El Salvador, which the doomsdayer hasn't done, and maybe he should take a look, what's going on there right now happened exactly, step by step, just as Vietnam did, and I studied Vietnam intensely. And we're sending advisors down, we're doing this, we're doing that. It's exactly Vietnam. Everything is exactly the same.
Then we should be experts on the matter by now, huh?
Well, sure, we should, but like the caller after the doomsdayer said it the best, people are stupid. Humans are stupid. And I couldn't have said it better myself. Humans are stupid. Humans are ignorant. And it's stupidity, ignorance, and anger that keeps you from becoming that enlightened individual that knows, you know, the realities of the world and the realities of what's going on around you. And the people who are ignorant just, you know, they don't care. They don't know what's going on. Doomsday has got a lot of good points about the environment. But big deal about the environment where we're just going to kill ourselves off before the earth itself dies off, you know? What good is the environment to us when we're killing people? When people around us are starving, and also we're sending billions of dollars into space, you know, we got to find out what's out there. There are things out there we need to know about. Big deal. We got more problems on Earth than we do in space.
Yeah, but we're always going to have problems.
Right, and we should take care of them before we start bringing those problems into space and polluting space.
So you would say we would have to take care of all the problems in Europe before we went over and took care of America?
No, I'm saying we should take care of the problems all over the world.
Collectively. But if we use that feeling, we would never have come to America at all. We would have stayed in Europe until all the problems were settled there.
No, I don't think
the problems ever will be all settled.
No, what I'm saying is that we the world collectively, should help one another in order to create world peace. I'm not saying that we should ignore the world around us and strictly help the United States, because that's, you know, then we won't get help from other countries when we need it. What I am saying is that we should collectively help the Earth. We should be concerned with the planet that we now inhabit before we go and destroy another planet that doesn't belong to us. See, humans are this big, power-hungry, ignorant bunch of biological organisms who think that they own the world. They own the universe. They own everything, and it's within their power to destroy it. And that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, you know, I think there's a positive side to humans as well. And that's the only way we're going to survive this.
Well, what are the positive sides to humans?
We're capable of understanding this.
But people aren't. People do not understand it. That's why you have people like George Bush.
Then why are we talking
country?
About it if people aren't capable of understanding it, you know? We've got to be capable of understanding it. If we're not, we might as well just give up.
Well, if there are people who are capable of understanding it, then why are we sending billions of dollars to a country to kill its people?
Because we haven't stopped it yet. Okay, and I think we will, and I think we can, but we've got to start talking about it, and we've got to start being active, and every little bit of activism, whether it's falling down dead in the building or jumping into the Thanksgiving Day parade with the black balloon, every little bit counts, and we've just got to do as much as we can.
Do you think that I don't think that you're much older than I am. In fact, I think they're probably about the same age. Do you think that within our lifetime that what we both seek to happen will happen in our lifetime, say, for the next 50, 60 years?
Well, I've seen bits of what I seek happen already. You know, I've seen people get together and knock down some racism and some nationalism. Of course, I haven't seen it all get knocked down, but I've seen some of it, and that's very gratifying, and that's enough to make me want to keep going.
Yeah, I think it's incredible what's happening in East Germany, you know, where people are knocking down the walls and people are going to be free. But then thousands of miles away, there are people getting killed for the same reason. The same reason. And it's not just in El Salvador, but in Tiananmen Square, which is now forgotten about completely. You know, people were fighting there for democracy, and people were killed there. Yet what's happening in East Germany is amazing. So when I say that we collectively, the world, it's not in one place that this should happen and one place this should happen. It should all happen together. And when people aren't working together, the whole system is going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Do what they can. You know, like you and I, we do what we can to change the world and change people who are ignorant, but I don't know if that's enough. I'd like to think it was, but I don't know.
Look at it this way. What other possible way can we go about it? You know?
Well, without sounding too radical, we can overthrow the government.
Yeah, but I can guarantee you that won't solve anything.
Well, if we have a group of people who overthrow the government who are socially aware and who know what's going on and who know what changes are necessary to make the world a better place to live...
What are you going to do with all those people that disagree with you?
The people who disagree with me, you know, if they're into this capitalist thing and they're money-hungry, hoarding, wealthy people who feel that what I'm saying is ridiculous, then they should take a look at the mirror and look at themselves and say, do I honestly feel this way? And if they can say yes, then hell, if they can live with that, then let them live with it. I think that they should all be shot.
Hmm. Well.
Maybe you'll get some calls now.
yeah, I think I probably will. Thanks for that.
You know, Eric, I just wanted to read something that, you know, I wrote over the break over the last couple of days about what's going on in El Salvador. Maybe it will have people think.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a question of what's going on. It's called Waking Up to Find Truth. An overwhelming sense of disgust chokes me. No answers to the whys of life. Deceit runs rampant throughout a dissonant society of selfish ideals. Where is the compassion for others? Has it been devoured by the detribalizing effects of capitalism? Sensitivity and empathy are lost traits that have become a rare gift. Individuality has been substituted for egocentric indulgence. Morals have been excreted into the toilet of forgotten values. A pseudo-society presently exists. We accept the separation within our own herd. This is our destruction. That's it.
You wrote that?
I wrote that on Halloween, actually.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I hope you keep writing.
Actually, there's a poetry reading here on campus on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in the Poetry Center on the second floor of the Humanities Building this Wednesday, if you'd like to come.
And that's at the campus of the State University at Stony Brook.
Campus of the University of Stony Brook at Stony Brook, on Stony Brook, here at Stony Brook.
Okay, well, look, you make sure we know about, here at the radio station, we know about what future events will be taking place so we can talk about them.
Sure.
All right.
Great.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
632-6901, talking about all kinds of things tonight, really moving around the world. Area code 516-632-6901, we're on until midnight. Good evening. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if you're aware of the gravity shortage that we are experiencing that will increase as the years go by.
No, you know, I'm not aware of that. Why don't you fill me in?
Well, there's a gravity shortage that's taking place throughout the world where gravity is being used up, and the gravity society, which I'm a member of, we're trying to get people to use less heavy objects in the house. Get rid of the heavy objects that are unnecessary. Maybe get the boulders, the stones, any kind of old tires or rims out of your yard. Don't build brick chimneys. Try to keep the coins out of your pocket. Use paper money wherever possible. Numerous things. There's thousands of things you do to conserve gravity, and if we don't conserve gravity, we're in for a heck of a time.
Is there anything in there about thick-headed people?
No, but... heavier people, they're using a lot more gravity, but as they use more gravity, they will weigh less because gravity is being used up at an alarming rate.
So I suppose airheads are right in there.
Well, it's just not a laughing matter. If we don't,
well, I'm not laughing
gravity,
at all. I'm not laughing.
With keeping water in the rivers, there'll be a problem with keeping the roof on your house. Rain will fall up, crops won't grow. If without gravity, we're doomed.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. Well, now, what can we do besides, I mean, you say get rid of the heavy objects, but where do we put them?
Throw them away. Get rid of them. Don't carry keys. You know these people, these janitors or these motorcyclists that carry all their keys and chains? Get rid of those heavy keys.
Yeah.
They say the keys use up something like 2.6% of the gravity on it.
Well, the other thing they do is they make unnecessary noise. And I don't know if you're aware of this. There's a noisemaker society here on campus, too. I mean, there's only so much noise that can be made at one particular time with everybody blasting stereos and talking at the same time. We've come very close several times. I believe the last time was about a year ago of using all the noise. And it's very similar to using all the oxygen. All of a sudden, you won't hear a thing, you know? Think about that. That's pretty damn scary, I think.
Now you have me worried about that. That's
Well, you worry about the weight problem. I'll worry about the noise problem.
About the gravity, you're going to have to get another society for the noise, because gravity. Think about it. Think about gravity. Toilets will flush up.
Well, if somebody has an example of that they want to play on the air tonight, I'd certainly love to hear that.
Well, that's all I'd like to say, because I'm going outside right now, and I'm going to I only fill up my gas tank halfway to lighten the load on my car. I never take extra passengers. There's a lot of things you can do.
Make sure your tires don't get inflated all the way either, halfway on those.
Because if we have to tie helium balloons to ourselves in the future to keep ourselves from floating away or something, in the end, you're going to have to find all these heavy things, because as less gravity, we approach the less gravity, you're going to have to become heavier to stay on the planet.
That is true. This is something. Has anybody written to the president about this?
No, but I've invented some lead shoes.
Okay.
But I can't keep them in the house because I'm trying to conserve gravity.
It's a dilemma. I must give you that.
It's like a catch-22 situation.
Yeah. Well, listen. Keep us informed. If you want, don't send us mail, because that will just simply tie up things more. Why talk to us on the phone. That doesn't take up any weight.
I'll do that.
Okay, well, thanks, and don't put the phone down too hard.
Put it down real careful.
Good. That's what we need in this world, more thoughtful people. 632-6901. Good evening.
EC.
Yo.
How's it hanging?
Hey, pretty good. Who's this?
This is Paul from across the sea in Connecticut.
Really? What part of Connecticut?
White Spot, Connecticut.
White Spot?
White Spot.
Is that one word or two?
Actually, it's a euphemism for Westport. We call it White Spot.
I knew there wasn't a place called White Spot. Okay, Westport. Very good, very good. Westport. So what's new in Westport?
Absolutely nothing. That's why we love it out here.
I see. What's on your mind?
But I want to tell you, you're a godless, secular humanist, aren't you?
Well, are you trying to get on my good side or something?
On your good side?
Yeah.
No, I want to tell you about, I'm house-sitting for my parents out here for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And, I don't know if we have a cleaning woman, or maybe maybe my mother actually indulged one of these, Jehovah's Witness types.
Uh-huh.
And so, boy, I've been out here for 3 weeks, and in that time, I work at night, so I'm here during the day. During that time, they came by 4 times and leaving, trying to proselytize and whatever. And so the first time I thought it was funny, and the second time one of the women was actually sort of cute, so I was like hoping to try to pick her up for a date, but I realized that would be pretty lame. So anyway, by the 4th time they came, it was great. They knock on the door, and I saw them. I knew who they were before they even opened their mouth to say anything. I just...
Oh, you can tell by the knock.
Can you tell by the knock?
Yeah, sort of like...
You can sort of tell by the blade.
Like that, four knocks. Four knocks very evenly spaced.
Whatever, that's, it was a new pair, so they hadn't seen me, but I just opened the door and I said, I'm the spawn of Satan.
Oh, my God.
And all this, and they just... It was great, I'm from the loins of Lucifer, I've been spawned. And 666, I just chased them out to the car, and they were like, praise God, and making these cross on their chest, and they just ran away. So it's great to practice reverse.
Wait, now that was the 3rd time?
Prison.
That was the 3rd time they were there?
No, that was the 4th time.
That was the 4th and final time.
Yes. I don't think they will come back.
Oh, if they do, they'll come back in great numbers, so be careful.
Really?
I don't know how they deal with things like that. But...
3rd time I was involved and didn't answer the door. But this was the 4th time, and that was a week ago, so I don't think they'll come back.
What do Jehovah's Witnesses
want?
It's weird
when you're nice to someone, and they just overdo it.
Well, I've never actually talked to somebody that has given a Jehovah's Witness what they want. They always talk about how they send them on their way. But what is it that they want when they come to the door? What do they want you to do?
Because they don't push too hard for money. They want souls, I guess, or converts or something.
How do you sign over a soul,
I think it's pretty easy if you're in the right circumstance, but I don't know. It's right. We got that Russ with his metaphysical meandering. Here's one for him. First you're young, then you get old, time can't be bought, but sometimes it's sold.
That's nice.
Do that. I just want to tell Russ, you know, if you want to get into the whole political thing, at least approach it with a more disciplined manner. I mean, he really got on my case this summer when you were off in Europe, because I called up and said how I didn't vote and I was blissfully apolitical, and I really felt, you know, it's, you know, don't vote, it only encourages them, and all those kind of cliches that I, you know, by paying attention, you almost give credence to the nefarious actions of careerist politicians. It means nothing to me. So then he gets on and tells about it. Yeah, we gotta dump capitalism, and he tells how he voted for the libertarian dude.
Uh-huh.
I forget his name. So, you know, he's such a non-entity. I've forgotten the guy's name. He ran for president on the libertarian line. But I mean, the libertarians, they spout some anti-government line, but all they are is they want free market capitalism, unchecked by any government intervention. Can I leave you with one last thing?
Well, let me just say this. Just keep this in mind. When you say you don't want to vote, that regardless of whether or not you vote, the people who get the most votes are in power anyway. I'd like for it to be where they have to get a certain number, and if they don't attain that number, they don't get into power. You know, and if 50% or 70% or 90% of the people vote for nobody, that's taken into account somehow. You know, it should be, because it means something.
Oh, well, I agree with you. I also have an opinion on that, but I'm cynical enough to believe that there's a lot more rooted in the business and in Wall Street than are in the hall, than there is power rooted in the halls of Congress and down in Washington. But what about this? I would vote if I could have my vote register as no vote, so that, for instance, in the last presidential election, I would have voted for no one. My vote would have counted as no vote, and thus Bush, if he were to have gotten in, or anyone running for any election, has to get a clear majority, which would be 50%, so that, you know, if for instance, say Bush got 48%, Dukakis got 40, and 12% of us voted present, you know, or voted
mm-hmm.
no vote. Because Bush claims, well, he got the majority. He actually didn't get the majority of, I mean, in terms of eligible voters, he got something like 26% of all eligible voters in the country.
Right, and I think the rest of those people should be treated as voting for nobody, and if nobody wins, then we have a problem and we have to deal with it, and that might wake some people up, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like that. That would be some fun.
And, okay, one last thing.
Yeah.
About politics is local. All politics is local. All revolutions are local. All dissent is local. On 14th Street in Manhattan, there's a Tom McCann store, and I was down there about 3 weeks ago. They had boxes of shoes just out on the street, you know, to be collected for the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly good shoes, which I guess were last year's style or something, because I looked at, you know, there were boxes, and there were literally five or six huge crate-sized boxes, you know, with probably 500-600 pairs of shoes, you know, decent canvas shoes and dress shoes and other stuff, but they'd all been slashed so that no one could wear them.
You know, I've read about that in Ann Landers, of all places, that it's such a waste to do that.
Ten blocks from the men's shelter down there, and I mean, you know, they couldn't sell, you know, they didn't want to sell them, but they couldn't give them away to anyone. It was ridiculous. I went in with my friend that, you know, and there was someone, there were like 12 of us mulling around looking over these boxes of shoes, and every single pair had been slashed. They must have paid like $200 for the guy to sit there and slash shoes all day long. And we got thrown out of the store because, you know, the manager just had no use for it.
That's disgusting. There's no excuse for that, and that's so symptomatic of the problems facing us. What you got to do when you see something like that is get as much publicity about it as possible. Go to The Voice, go to the TV news. Just make sure that everybody knows that Tom McCann on 14th Street throws away shoes that could be used by homeless people and by people in need.
Boycott Tom McCann shoes, definitely.
Well, let's and folks around here find out if that's the case with Tom McCann's around here or any other shoe store, because I understand a lot of shoe stores do that.
Yeah.
and a lot of bookstores do that too. You know, and books, you know, you don't put books on your body or anything like that, but they're an essential element to life, and they shouldn't just be discarded like they're trash.
Okay. So, good to talk to you.
All right, good point there. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. We have some open lines, so feel free to barge in. Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Good. I have an idea about the previous caller, his idea of like a non-vote.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I'll personally start a party, just a non-party, and it'll be a non-platform that will guarantee to do absolutely nothing, which in the world right now, doing nothing would probably be a seriously positive action. But starting a non-party with really a faceless candidate and faceless platform and just putting it up, you know, getting all the legal paperwork, so to say, and just putting it up there and making it an actual voting possibility would probably be a very enlightening thing to many people.
And the important thing is not to get, different votes for the non-party, but all the non-votes automatically go to your party. All the people that don't vote counts as a vote towards you. You know, that's going to be hard to get, but if you're able to get those votes, you'll have a lot of power.
Because just to assume that those who don't vote are making a political statement is probably something that the establishment will not buy as a whole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they in the first part think that individuals who are not very active in the capitalist system aren't really sort of participating. So I don't think that I think they view non-participation the same way as they view the inability of someone to really achieve economic success. I think it would really, but to go out there and vote for something really ironic, such as non-party, if you had like enough percentage actually doing that, actually showing sort of interest in the future of this country, you know, it couldn't be denied that if people are actually coming out and voting for absolutely nothing, it couldn't be denied that that the anarchy or that the idea of going against the present system was merely a extremist folly, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. With all the changes taking place in Eastern Europe, democracies arising out of totalitarian governments, those people are really, really going to cherish democracy. And you can bet they're going to vote. They're going to go out there and they're going to voice their opinion, and it's going to mean a lot to them. And I think, you know, it sort of moves in phases. You know, we're moving into a phase where we just don't care. And that's how you lose everything that you fought for.
Oh, it's true, but
it's kind of interesting how they're going into it, and we're kind of going out of it. And face it, we are.
But we definitely are. It's really due to it's really. I hate to sound predictable and blame on capitalism, but in a sense, it's a system that really promotes commercialization and marketing, and it is really happening in the political sector. I mean, that last election between Bush and Dukakis is the perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
An election occurred without any serious ideology or fundamental decisions on anything ever being discussed.
And there were no real debates at all. There were just these, you know, mock things that they called debates. But, you know, a real debate was what happened in Canada, where the two candidates actually addressed each other directly and answered each other directly. That's, you know, that's democracy in action. Democracy in action is dirty. You know, it's messy. It's a lot of shouting, a lot of noise. It's kind of like what they do in Italy, actually, but it might not be a very good example. But that's what you have to do. You know, it can't be all this showmanship. And you see, we've made our government into something so far removed from the people that the people can never really have any substantial impact on the government. We never talk to the government. We never are a part of the decision-making process. You know, we don't even vote directly for the president. We vote for, you know, an electorate or something like that.
Well, yeah, power's been so decentralized that it works as a safeguard against itself. There's so much issues that we will deal with that will just really take the general ideas off of serious matters. I think that for the most part, but C. Everett Mills in his book The Power Elite, he talked about the power elite and its attempt to sort of really just keep the average American or the working class American or just the person who's not politically active directly as of holding a post, just keep them very busy with issues such as, you know, abortion or even the homeless is something I really care about. But little issues like that, and the more local they get and the more local your elections get, it tends to really keep people from understanding the true realm of their power. You know, in this country, we still have amazingly hung on to some thread of democracy and a mass unity on one thing by demonstrating with a vote would really have quite a tremendous effect. I don't think many Americans realize that. They really actually could really revolutionize our way of doing things, very simply, but just going out and voting. But there's no choice offered that would even do that. That's the main problem.
You know, there's some people that say that capitalism and democracy are incompatible. What do you think?
Oh, they're definitely incompatible. The idea of capitalism, this is offered to me as a high school student, which I still am actually now. I'm coming to Stony Brook next year, so I'm so thrilled to be on this telephone.
Oh, really?
I'm ready to go to Stony Brook
next
year. But
you better get used to these phones because you're going to be on them a lot.
I probably will be, I'm sure. It was always offered that capitalism was the most democratic form of economy, and I think it's true if everyone in this country were to be given a dollar, you know, and everyone said, go forth and multiply this dollar, you know. But the problem is, as soon as the first person makes $2 and the second person makes 50 cents, that person of $2 spends 50 cents to make sure the person of 50 cents continues to have 50 cents, and then power is then something that's a commodity like anything else, and those who can afford it really hold on to it rather well. It really is. It's quite embarrassing. It's quite embarrassing that this country now, all the great things that are happening in Europe with the Berlin Wall and such,
mm-hmm.
it's funny to watch these people try to write it off as the triumph of capitalism, you know? It's really quite amusing. They think that these people are not leaping over the wall so that they can purchase 17 types of toilet paper. You know, it's quite amazing.
Well, some are. I mean, they're curious, but, you know, that's not the long-term goal, I don't think.
Really, I think that they should notice that. I think, in general, hopefully things are moving towards a more of a... Of really democratic or humanistic socialism. I mean, socialism is not perfect. It's really impossible to have anything that's perfect because you're dealing with so many people, so many ideas, and so many variations of opinion. You're never going to get one system that's going to be a blanket.
No, but if you can get a system that can envelop a lot of different ideologies, then you've got something that's worth keeping.
It is, you know, and I think that in Europe it's really good. It's really... I mean, I think that it is sort of the natural progression of what Marx had in mind. You know, he did always talk about the tyranny of the masses, you know, in sort of a really radical approach to democracy. But he said that as soon as things sort of were able to solidify, that the power would go more to the people. And I think it's happening. It's happening by demand of the people. It's not happening because the people who are in power are, you know, saying, okay, it's time. But still... it's really a one and the same thing. I think people forget that, you know. When the Tsar was in power, the people in Russia had it, you know, quite badly. And they have it badly now, but so do a lot of people in this country. And to say that people would be jumping, you know, out of East Germany onto a boat to America, it may be true, but I think there are people in this country that if they could be guaranteed an apartment and a job and food, that they would probably, you know, jump to, even if it meant they had to watch that, you know, awful Russian television. But...
yeah, it'd be interesting if the West Germans gave everybody who was American welcome money. You know, how many Americans would go?
I'd certainly go to Switzerland.
Yeah,
it sounds very nice, but it really is difficult because I think the mass popular culture and the mass even education. I think the education of this country is so preposterous. It's almost like marketable education. Like you purchase your high school education. Then you can purchase your college education. Then you can purchase your successful job. And it defeats the purpose of education, which is to enlighten. I think in school we're virtually punished for having any sort of an individual thought. It's really something that's really frowned.
No, not just in school, in the workplace, on the, you know, on the bus, everywhere.
It's really more the symbolic of everything. I think school is just the most pressing because it's that age when most solid. Preconceptions and ideas about life are really formed, you know.
Sure.
It's very funny. I really think you learn more between the ages of like 16 and 18 than you do any other time. I mean, that's why, I mean, such things as racism and sexism, I mean, if they get implanted then, it's hard to make these people shake it. But school is really where that...
it's the hardest part of life is going through school because that's when you got to deal with crazy teachers and also crazy peers, too. And you have to fit in and somehow the right way... and it's probably the harshest period of time.
It is. It's really a time when, you know, individuality and intelligence is really a negative, you know. It's really not, it's not as good as being able to, like, to throw a football through, like, you know, a window or something. So it's really difficult for people in general. It's frowned upon. And I think it's very sad because the person who called, let's see, a few back, and I think he was kind of frustrating a little bit with his pessimistic attitude about human ignorance. You know, you remember who I'm talking about?
Well, I think we had a couple of people.
We had a few, but the most recent one, and, you know, he was talking about basically people ignorant, and you said, well, we have the ability to understand this, so we must go forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he said was to assume that this ignorance is like a natural function of a human being, which quite obviously it's not. I think each human being has a quotient, now be it more some than others, but a quotient of sensitivity and understanding. You know, I think the human animal has that within him. You know, it may be his one gift, but that sensibility and intelligence is the reason that it seems to be lacking is because it's being filled with nonsense and truly unimportant things. It's not because human beings in general are discarding the worth and value of life for it's being perpetrated on them. You know,
sure.
There's so many instances where people learn things subconsciously, overtly, anyway, and just that time is being taken up by someone useless things. The funny thing to hear someone like my father complain about the work ethic of young people these days, you know, how awful it is compared to the older generation. But in truth, it's the capitalist system, which in order to continue that sort of vigor for competition and success, has to sort of create an environment where those things are very important, you know. The more it does that, and the more computerized MTV-ish it gets, the more those images of success become visual, the more that replaces the actual work end of it, you know. So these people who created this so-called bad work ethic, they did it themselves, and they're undermining their own system. Because it gets harder and harder to sort of hammer in these capitalist ideals when the world is really going to pieces, you know. It's really hard to say, well, you could someday be, you know, the president of Exxon and then have to turn around and watch those awful things on television. I mean, that disaster is not going to go away. That is a serious, like, blemish on the earth.
Yeah, I mean, Exxon went away, but no, the disaster is still there, certainly.
Yeah, Exxon went away yesterday. I think they're offering, like, trucks or something for Christmas. You can buy get a truck. It's very nice. It's a very generous thing. But
say what?
I think they should get the trucks. You have little toy trucks you can buy.
Who's offering toy trucks?
You know, gallons of gas and get a toy truck for Christmas, you know. Ugh. You can give it to your son or something. I saw a commercial for it. But I think that they should really...
Exxon is selling toy trucks.
I believe so. I believe it's Exxon, maybe among others, but there's all free giveaways, you know, glasses, frisbees, trucks, and all lovely things that they give you.
I say, brick by brick, window by window, their main headquarters in New York City should be dismantled by everybody who can get down there. I don't think that's a very radical thing to say either.
I don't think so. They should ban cars from Manhattan, and that way that we wouldn't have to.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that. It's nothing more fun than driving down Park Avenue.
No, they should something radical should be done to Exxon. They were given a nice slap across the wrist. It was amazing. It was really what they got away with. Was quite.
I'd give them a kick. Never mind where. But
it's much worse than I don't know than what's been streaking across the Academy Awards or something. You know, some people get punished for the most, you know, shoplifting. If I would have shoplifted the Milky Way, I'd probably have my life dramatically altered for a week or something. And I think these people really had to deal with it for 24 hours and they went to sleep. You know, I think so. I encourage everyone to shoplift. Preferably combine the two: shoplift from Exxon. And then I think you'd be making a very valuable statement. Don't you agree?
Yeah, what else could you do to Exxon? Well, they got all those toll-free numbers you can call up over and over again, cost them money there, but they'll just pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, sure, we'll pay more.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were very upset by all the people cutting the cards in half and mailing it back to them. They really were upset by that and all the oil-soaked bills that they got. So, you know, things like that are effective. They do, you know, they do open up some eyes.
Yeah, but it takes really, like, the activist people. They always... Activists in general, that like small dedicated block, just are not enough. It really takes much more.
It depends on how successful they are, though, and how clever they are. Because
like creativity, they do some of the most blunt and unattractive things. Like what happened in like the convention, the Democratic convention with what year is that? You know, the very controversial one where they were nominating.
1968.
Yeah, nominating McGovern, I guess.
1968.
Yeah, I believe that was it. That was definitely it. It was when Kennedy was killed.
Right.
Yes. And it was just like so many groups were talking about so many good things, but their way of doing it was appalling to many Americans, you know, and they didn't feel in tune with it. But many of them probably agreed with the actual things they're talking about. I think that, you know, if someone turns on television and sees...
Well, you know, that's why there's ways of appealing to people without turning them off. Like when people say, oh, the whole system stinks and, you know, capitalism's got to go, you turn off a lot of people like that. And there's, you know... You don't have to be so harsh. You don't have to be so condemning of everything there is. It's a, you know, you can think of other more rational ways to say what you have to say, and that way people will you know, it's a step-by-step process. They'll say, okay, I understand what you're saying here. Maybe they'll reach a conclusion that's similar to yours. Maybe they won't. But either way, you're getting them thinking.
Yes, little bit by little bit. In New Jersey, it's Jim Florio and the great insurance debate. That was one of the greatest triumphs because people really fed up with the insurance companies. And that was really capitalism at its best. They're ripping people off incredibly, you know.
Uh-huh.
People began to realize that car insurance is a pretty necessary thing, and there's really no reason why so many people should have to suffer for a small amount, the people who obviously own the insurance companies. And to get them regulated was really a step towards socialism, but American people don't see it that way because they see it as themselves benefiting. But that's sort of a foot in the door. I mean, maybe the phone company is next, and I shouldn't have to pay, like, $1,000 to talk to my girlfriend in Florida for like 15 minutes, you know?
No, that's crazy. And I'm sure the day that is going to end soon, or fairly soon, when there won't be any more long-distance calls. Everything will be pretty much tied together.
I should think so, because it really doesn't cost them any more. You know, there's not people who have to carry my message word by word across the country.
Right. Eventually that will happen. I'm sure of that.
Healthcare. I mean, that goes without saying,
yeah.
Really, you know. Healthcare should just be, like you said before.
Healthcare, food, and education. Yeah, those are the basic building blocks that everybody should be supplied with. And a place to live, of course, too.
Yeah, Stephanie Jackson's controversial idea about free college education is not so controversial. If it is such a free market, free system, then there should be no problem with, you know,
if you cut out all the money that you spend on this war we've been having, this Cold War, you have a lot of money for these important things that really are necessary.
Sure, because I'd just like to say, I mean, if the George Bush, or really George is more of just like a follower, but Reagan, for example, if you really want to see a day without nuclear weapons, well then, we're actually going to have to stop building them for that day to come, you know?
Yeah.
Or else it will just never come.
Of course.
It's impossible.
Of course, and that's why it's so important, even though, you know, glasnost is spreading all over Europe, and, you know, democracies are springing up, and totalitarianism is falling apart. If we get involved in something like El Salvador, you can kiss all that goodbye, because not only is that going to tie up our military, but it's also going to lead to some more conflicts with those countries that are now, you know, springing up with more democratic regimes, because not everyone's going to see it from our point of view, and not everyone here is going to see it from our point of view either. So I want to go on to some more calls, okay?
Yes, it's been good talking to you.
Thanks for calling. Last call, folks, last call. We have 11 minutes left, 632-6901, two open lines. We're going to try to get to two open lines. What's going on here? Lights are flashing like Christmas trees here. Two open lines, 632-6901, area code 516, and we're going to try to get to everybody really quickly. Good evening.
Hi, Sir Russ. I just wanted to be able to defend myself from the caller who...
Okay, well, listen, sir, I don't want to turn this into a debate. I'll give you a minute, but, you know, let's...
Okay, well, the guy who called and said that I got on his back for not voting, then he redeemed himself by saying that he would have a non-vote, which was the purpose in my voting for the Libertarian, because I knew that he would lose, which was kind of like a non-vote.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I voted for him. And one of the other things I wanted to say was, the guy that you were just talking to is probably the most intelligent person I've ever heard on this show, and I'd like to commend everything that he said. It's just, and he said that he was in high school, and if this is what the younger generation is thinking and feeling, then that's incredible. That's great.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the callers to this program are in high school, which I'm amazed, you know.
Yeah, but
most
of them aren't as intelligent as this guy.
A lot of them are, though. A lot of them are very intelligent. And,
this guy was right on, perfect. And the other thing I wanted to say was, the guy who called about the gravity problem, that just shows the epitome of ignorance in the world.
Well, I mean, I can't believe you're not taking this seriously.
Yeah, well, you know, it is a real serious thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's something that I think we should devote some time to. And we did. And I don't want to devote any more time to it.
Have a good Saturday, Eric.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. A couple more calls we have time for. Good evening.
Hello, Eric. It's Sammy.
Sammy, don't sound good.
No, I'm sick. I got the flu.
Your voice sounds kind of high-pitched.
High-pitched? No.
No, maybe you should tune your voice up a bit.
So my voice is fine. But anyway, about the gravity.
Yeah.
What the heck are you talking about? There's no gravity.
Well, no. We didn't say that. We just said there's a problem. There might be a problem. You know, it might happen someday sooner than we think. And we have to conserve.
Yeah, well, this is a problem. And the other guy that just called, a National Socialist guy.
Yeah.
Isn't a National Socialist... Isn't that Hitler?
I don't think he was... No, I think that was social democracy. Not
socialism.
National socialism, social democracy.
Well, anyway, I'm a social services.
Yeah, that's different, too. There's lots of different things in this world, Sammy.
I know.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
You've seen the whole world?
Not all of it. I've seen, from here up to Attica.
Uh-huh.
That's about it.
Uh-huh.
But I was listening to the show, and the doomsayer was on, and everybody, and it's hard to get through on the phone.
Well, it is hard to get through. We've had a very busy night.
Well, it's good to hear you again. Did you have a Thanksgiving dinner and stuff?
Yeah, I did all that stuff.
We did.
We?
Yeah.
Well, go on. I'm giving you time.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, at Christmas time, I got another weekend in Christmas time where they let me come down to New York, down here to back home.
Uh-huh. That's awfully nice of them.
It is. And I'd like to call you up.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but will you be taking off like Christmas holidays and stuff, or will you be on the weekend?
Well, I really can't say what I'll be doing. It's unpredictable at this point.
It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll call you back. And should I take the keys off my keychain for the gravity?
Well, if you don't need them, you might as well play it safe.
Okay.
All right.
And I'll see you. I'll take it easy, Dan.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Good night.
Bye. Oh, I don't know how he managed to close the door behind him, but thank you, Sammy, for doing that. That's very important that we conserve energy, too, yes, and keep the heat in. And God knows there's enough heat in this studio. Oh, what's the temperature in here, anyway? I feel like complaining about this. We're not supposed to complain about the indoor temperature, but it's 27 degrees Celsius, which is 81 on the Fahrenheit scale. So we got to put up with here. I suppose I could take my coat off, but as you know, I just sort of rushed in here. 632-6901 is our telephone number. We got a couple of open lines. Figure let's give people one last chance to spout their various rhetoric. No retributions, we promise. 632-6901, area code 516. We have only a few minutes left. Let's take a very quick look at the news, just because we haven't done it yet, and we should. More political changes may be in the offing in Czechoslovakia, sort of like following the same road East Germany followed a few weeks ago only. State-run media say the nation's Communist Party Central Committee will meet tomorrow to discuss, quote, political and organizational questions, unquote. Yesterday, the 13-member ruling Politburo stepped down, and today it was replaced by a 9-man Politburo that includes several hardline holdovers. You know, I'm thinking, I'll imagine, you know, I mean, we already have democracy here, supposedly. If we were to do the same thing, have hundreds of thousands of people in the streets every day, over and over again, demanding something, isn't it amazing? We could probably get it, you know? We just have to think of what it is we want to demand, you know? What is it that we want to demand? What do hundreds of thousands of people agree upon? What will they march in the streets for and, refuse to back down? Imagine that. In this country, it could happen. You could have, you know, the Reagan administration... No, it's the Bush administration. I keep losing track. You can have whatever administration is in power, have mass cabinet resignations and Politburo, and that's the wrong country, all kinds of shuffling and moving about and things like that. It can be a lot of fun, you know? Of course, you got to wait till the weather's good, but it still could be interesting. Anyway, dissatisfied that the changes have not gone far enough, 500,000 protesters jammed the streets of Prague today. The sea of flag-waving... roaring demonstrators marked the largest rally in the nation's history. Soviet television is praising the Czechoslovakian protesters for maintaining order. The reform activities in Czechoslovakia are getting positive media coverage in East Bloc countries, except... anyone want to guess? Okay, except in hardline Romania, where they've gone virtually unreported. And I always have to add this because the Associated Press doesn't, but Albania does not cover this either. They're not considered to be the Eastern Bloc because they're isolated from the Eastern Bloc. But they're there. They're in there somewhere. Bulgaria has dismantled a police force responsible for reining in political opponents and human rights activists. The state-run news agency says the police unit will now perform such duties as protecting the freedoms of citizens. It's the latest in a series of reforms that started in Bulgaria earlier this month. And Hungarians... this is amazing, isn't it? Hungarians go to the polls tomorrow to decide when to elect a new president. They'll also voice their opinions on whether political parties should be removed from workplaces and whether the ruling party should account for its assets. Right now, folks, right now in Eastern Europe, they have more of a say in their government than we do here. It's pretty amazing. Pretty incredible, I think. Despite the fast-paced change taking Eastern Europe by storm, Defense Secretary Dick Cheney will reaffirm the need for NATO when he meets with defense ministers this coming week. That's what a Bush administration official, known as BACs, says as Cheney prepares to leave for the annual NATO Defense Planning Committee meeting in Brussels. The gathering will precede next weekend's Bush-Gorbachev summit off the island of Malta. And initial election results are expected within 24 hours in India's parliamentary elections. But the final outcome may be unclear for some time, as elections officials have ordered new balloting in Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi's district because of vote fraud. The multi-day elections are shaping up as one of the bloodiest in India's 42 years of independence. More than 100 people have died since the polls opened Wednesday. And this is interesting. More than 1,000 whites in South Africa called for an end to apartheid today as they marched into a black township. The unprecedented march was greeted by cheers from 50,000 blacks who filled the streets of New Brighton. But police in the black homeland of Transkei put a stop to speeches by four African National Congress leaders today. They tear gassed the four and hundreds of supporters in a church. And I also heard that some people had died there, too, and it's not reported here. OPEC oil ministers are meeting in Vienna to come up with price and production ceilings for the first half of next year. Several ministers say they want crude prices to go higher. Okay, folks, we only have time for one more call, so let's take it now at random. Which one shall I take? Let's try this one. Good evening.
I also wanted to let people know about the reading here on campus.
Is that you again?
It's me again.
Oh, boy.
It's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, November 29th, in the Poetry Center, in the Humanities Building. And all are welcome. Also, if you do write, submissions are being accepted for the Brook Spring 90 publication. So everyone should come down to the Humanities Building this Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, Poetry Center.
Okay, well, thanks for passing that on.
No problem.
All right. And I guess that's going to just about do it for us. If I sound kind of distracted, it's because I can't find my outro. You have these little things called cartridges, well, carts we call them, out of affection. And, you know, they have various things on them, some nice, some not so nice.
I will not agree to another debate. The answer is no.
You can see.
I am not going to have any more debates. We don't need any more debates. Yeah. I've spelled out my position. There will be no more debates.
So I can't find my outro. It doesn't seem to be here anymore, so I'm going to have to borrow another outro. Okay, sometimes the carts don't work either. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is the outro or intro for India Hour. It's a...
And welcome to the Indian Music Hour.
Okay, well, I didn't know there was talking on it, but apparently there is. Anyway, folks, we have to get out of here. Don't know where the next person is, but there will be somebody coming into the studio real soon. I can promise you that. I mean, I can promise you I'm not going to be staying here for another couple hours, that's for sure. Thanks to everybody who called. Sorry to those we didn't get to. Here's my outro. How do you like that? I was using it as a bookmark. Okay. Turn off the Indian stuff and go straight to the brain damage outro, which is only working in one channel for some reason. Oh, boy. Okay, folks, we're having a bit of technical problems here, so bear with us while we try to fix things in our unscientific way. There we go, both channels. My name's Eric Corley, been with you since 10 o'clock. We'll be back again next Saturday at 10 o'clock. And again, thanks to everybody who called up. Keep on thinking, keep on talking, and doing all kinds of other fun things, and tell me all about it next week. See ya. Bye. The lunatic
is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. Every day the paper boy brings more. You raise the blade.